Welcome to KXLW from the Coop. I'm Chantel Crockett here, back with you again. Thank you so much for joining us. We've got in studio with us today, we've got our, as always, our producer, Connor Flynn.
Hello.
We've got Patrick McLaughlin joining us in studio once again.
Howdy, howdy, howdy.
And we'll have wireless Mike Koreski, our great and fearless leader, joining us in just one second. Just to start off everything today, we're going to be talking about a couple of issues that we want to bring to your attention. We're going to be talking about some gambling-related items right off the bat. If that is something that is you're sensitive to, I advise you to skip to the next segment, into segment two. But more importantly, we take that very seriously here on KXLW from the Coop, and get yourself help if you need it to deal with those issues. Give a call to 1-800-GAMBLER, that's G-A-M-B-L-E-R, and get yourself some help if you need it. Now that we've got that out of the way, I'm going to toss it over to wireless Mike Koreski.
Thank you very much, Sonny. And here we are. It's been a month. Crazy stuff has been happening in the sports world, as you just tipped off. I mean, we were all ready to talk about the Mariners and how bummed out we are, but we will get to that a little bit later because that was so close yet so far. Weird stuff happened last week in the world of the NBA for the Portland Trailblazers. They had opening night, a very close game, a very close loss to the Minnesota T-Wolves. And then the next day, wow, at 6 in the morning, Blazers head coach Chauncey Billups was arrested by the FBI in connection with a gambling ring. 30 people were arrested that early morning raid across the country. And Sonny, talk to me about some of the details on this.
Absolutely. The FBI filed separate indictments that involved, as you said, more than 30 people, and it's across all a wide spectrum. We're talking coaches, players, gamblers, crime rings that you would have thought was, we left those things back in the 80s, 90s, 2000s, you know, and still very much active today and getting their hands in all of these. It's also old school things like illegal poker games, new school things like prop betting on websites, you know, that we do that have propped up in the last few years since it's been legalized and regulated a little bit more often or a little more available for people to do, especially here, even in the Portland area and the Vancouver area. There's still avenues for you to go into that. So again, it's involved NBA players that are current, NBA players from the past. We had illegal poker games being set up that involved Chauncey Billups. Now, this is where he is actually indicted in this, and he's going to have a date coming up on November 24th. He's hired a defense lawyer who has represented Donald Trump, Rudy Giuliani, one of the guys that was in front of one of the cryptocurrencies that was found to be fraudulent. They've been running through what his options are, and his next thing will be in front of the Eastern District of New York, and he'll face what charges he's going to have coming his way. Now he's been indicted in the first one, but he is only listed as a conspirator number 8 in the second indictment that involved current player Terry Rozier and some of these prop bettings, and basically treating it as an insider trading case against in this aspect for selling information about who's going to play, who's not going to play, and that involves so many players and so many different levels of that.
And two things: one, Jontay Porter from last year that has been tied into the former player for the Toronto Raptors, because about prop bets about himself when he would he would tell people that he wasn't going to play the rest of the game.
Correct.
Before the game.
Well, correct. And selling,
and people would bet several hundred thousand dollars on it.
On his numbers specifically, and then whether the team will win or lose based on some things about whether they play. And that's what's going to come up here. And then you have that was already basically settled.
Right. That was last year. But now it's brought back in.
Well, and then Adam Silver, after they had cleared Terry Rozier, who is currently playing for the Miami Heat, and for significant amount of money this guy makes, when we looked at some of the betting that was involved in here, it's tens of thousands.
It's crazy.
He makes millions.
It's crazy. And then one quick question to you.
Yes.
The Chauncey Billups stuff, was that those poker games and whatnot were when he was with living in L.A. before he was coaching with the Clippers, correct?
That is that
because he coached one year with the Clippers and then came to Portland.
And over that that time frame of setting up these illegal poker games, where he was called
before he was a coach,
right? And okay. and but he was called the face card, so he would bring in some of these high pocket gamblers, and you know, between players and people who probably shouldn't even be in these games at all.
Poker games with X-ray tables, right?
And then on top of it. Poker games with X-ray tables, so you could see the cards through that way. And if that wasn't available, there's shuffling machines that they rigged so that it would send the information on the card and then everybody's cards to another person who was off-site, who would he would then relay that in to the players at the table.
Yeah, and then they had like a leg communicator or something?
They had a communicator that would tell people, it's like, this is your hand, or this is what the card is, these are what the cards are, to devices. I mean, there was all kinds of different ways depending on the setup of the game. Some of these games would start off in Los Angeles.
Yes.
And then would move to Vegas.
Which was where Chauncey was in.
But these games, sometimes if the lineup was right, they would start off in LA and then end up in Vegas in the same play, you know, just to keep that money train going. If they defrauded over, like they said at that point, they can prove they defrauded over $7 million in these games.
Oh, I thought it was $17 million. Seven?
I had only seen seven in the
okay.
But this is a developing case. They don't know every bit of information they're going to know about this. But they over a number of time period, and that involved some of these high end crime families, the Gambinos. I mean, these are names that you just never would have thought, you know, that you'd come across again. And Billups is only listed again as a conspirator number 8 in that second indictment that involves the prop betting and the players selling information or even just straight up tanking games.
Yeah.
And there's a thought, I've looked at some of the legal people who are discussing this case, and they're out there, we're just getting more of this every day, and the reason why he's not charged officially in that case yet is that there's thought that he has more information that he can give. He's already pled not guilty to this first indictment against him, but we'll see, you know, whether or not he sticks with that. But there's a thought that they want to see if he has more information on some of these other things to avoid other indictments.
Some info.
Now and even as of right now, we'll get into the impact on the Blazers a little more. He's on administrative leave from the NBA, so he's still drawing.
But not getting paid. I just read that today.
Okay.
He's suspended.
They had been, you know.
Yeah, him and Rozier are both no money.
Officially suspended, no money.
Got it.
We don't know what their rules are about the suspensions, whatever. Either way, if they can't put them on like permanent suspension or whatever, eventually he'll still get paid by this, but they are away from the sport right now,
the
as they probably
not
should
drawing
be.
Any checks? Yes, I was going to say, and it's interesting, James, you were talking about that, because for me, when I heard this news, the last 2 years have been the strangest thing ever for a Blazer fan, because you would go on your phone, you'd look at a Blazer's Edge, you'd look at ESPN on your phone, and it'd tell you two or three Blazers who are not playing that night. But then an hour later, you turn on the game, and two or three more are also not playing that night. So my big joke was always called the wheel of not playing. I thought the GM would go into the locker room an hour before and spin the wheel. They all had their names. You have an injury, and you have an injury. And part of me is thinking, you know, that Coach Billups was just telling the GM, why don't you let me take care of who plays and who doesn't? And we're going to lose, so you'll get the high draft pick that you want to make our team better eventually. But I don't know. That's what I was thinking, because I've never seen anything like it in my years of watching pro sports. Yep. I've never, even tanking NBA teams, I've never seen them sit five or six a night. What were you saying, Connor?
Well, and then recently with, you know, the Damian's coming back and then the ownership changeover to the East Coast and the buyout there.
It's just now they're actually being competitive.
Nonstop drama. You know,
on purpose. Yeah. And then it was a great opening night. It was really close. And then the next day was like, what?
Right.
And so to talk about, because as usual, we're getting up against clock. So to talk about the season a little bit, at least, before we have a summarization.
I want to make one more point about the poker games and everything that they were doing. It brings you to life. You have experience with.
You're a dealer.
Yes, I do have experience with dealing and playing. I had never played at that level, not even close to it, right? But I have extensive experience with home games, and I've talked with even more people who have been in that, you know, that area.
Sure.
And you've got to be careful when you're in those games. There was you'll see a lot of professional poker players who were involved in games like this, and there was other ones that were just like, I was not going to play in that game because everybody was telling you, oh yes, this game's on the up and up, and they were discussing specifically Chauncey Billups, and this was like a year ago, and he's all like, I can tell you for certain this game is not on the up and up.
I saw that clip.
And so, you know, those kind of aspects, you have to protect yourself if you're going to get in any home games. It doesn't really matter at what level you're at. So it brings up the more the gambling aspect of it, that, you know, there's ways to be a good gambler but if you don't protect yourself, you can end up in some shady situations. And with Chauncey Billups, we don't know where his level of involvement began or end, but like it could have been going for years before that.
Yeah.
You've got to make sure you're getting involved with the right people, and that could be what the impetus
At this point, it's all speculation, of course, but it does not look very good.
No, it doesn't look good for him on
Coach Billups and the league itself,
which is Adam Silver. He when he became commissioner, he really pressed for that to be a thing.
Yeah,
you know, to allow, and to their credit, the only reason we know that about this happening is because we've had regulation and legalization, and even on the state level of this. That's the only way we've gotten this information.
The NBA
wasn't able to get to it all, but the only, you know, the FBI was able to get to this information from these companies. They couldn't have got, if this company's running out of Malta, we don't get any of this information.
Yeah.
And it's now an opportune time for the NBA, Major League Baseball, NFL, NHL, all of these companies to look at this as an opportunity to push for more legalization, more regulation, and that's the easiest way we can make sure that things are on the up and up, both for on the gambling side, but also for all these individual sports.
Yeah, that's a good point. Because even last year, the Terry Rozier situation, the casinos, I mean the gambling, you know, people.
The websites and all
yeah,
that.
Yeah, the websites, they tipped the NBA off, apparently, and that Rozier, these crazy bets were made on him to do this or that, you know, to miss shots or not play as many minutes or
and
whatever.
The action on this guy,
a bench guy, you know, down on the eighth, ninth guy off your bench.
Yeah.
And they alerted the NBA, and the NBA reportedly, like the next day, well, you're sitting for the rest of the year with an injury.
Right.
But
we've cleared him. Thankfully, the FBI stepped in and said, we haven't cleared him of anything yet.
Okay, so now let's go back to hoops.
Let's talk about the Blazers
The hoops on the court.
Absolutely. Chauncey Billups is on leave right now from the team and replaced by Tiago Splitter, getting his first chance to be an NBA head coach.
Yeah, former Spurs big man. He was in the rotation in some of the Greg Popovich years. Last year, he coached overseas and won a title overseas. So that was good for him.
Where at? What
country? And you would ask that.
Somewhere over the sea.
We'll do that.
But since then, the team has gone 3-1.
Well, and he was brought in as the offensive coach, so I will tell you that much too. But yeah, go ahead with more Blazers stuff while I look up.
3-1 they've got big wins over the Golden State Warriors. They did lose one game to the Los Angeles Clippers, but they just won an exciting game against the Utah Jazz to
held on to that one.
Held on to that one, right? And Utah was a team that people were thinking was like going to be a good tank team coming up. And they still might at the second half of the season. They still might end up being that. But right now they're playing really exciting basketball. And they came out and they had a really big lead on them for three quarters and hang out and got a big win. So really good look for the Portland Trailblazers between Denny – I always mess this guy's
Avia.
Is it Avia?
Yep, Denny? Avia.
I see
the Avia. D is silent.
It is silent. I see the D out there every once in a while. Avia. And then Drew Holiday has just been such a driving force for them.
True pro.
Already. And really, it's just opening things up. And that's without having Scoot Henderson on the court so far. And you know, and then also, I think a really good candidate for comeback player of the year could be Jeremy Grant.
At this point, the way
he's been playing, he has looked exactly like what they've needed, and they need him to be this because they have him signed for big money for the next three years, including an option year.
And if he's trying to play his way out of Portland, I'd rather that than not trying to play his way out of Portland, if that makes sense.
And maybe that is Tiago Splitter. He's really reaching some of these guys for on that level. And then also Shaden Sharp just signed a 4-year, $90 million extension.
And so did Tamani Kamara.
And Kamara. And both of those guys are playing really productive minutes so far for Portland.
Okay, so here you go, Connor. Tiago Splitter. He was head coach of Paris basketball during the 24-25 season, a period where the team achieved significant success, winning the French Championship and the French Cup, and reaching the EuroLeague playoffs for the first time.
But that was a magnificent time.
And I think he was involved with the French national team as well. So that there's no commitment to him long term, but he's putting his best foot forward to get.
Oh yeah, spot. Well, I mean, and the thing is, he's trying to make the best of a bad situation. I was just reading an article about that morning for the Blazers when Coach was arrested, and they had a meeting, of course, at the facility. You know, their team facility, and Drew Holiday and Damian Lillard led the meeting, and they were just the big theme was stay together.
Yeah, stick together.
No matter what happens. And also, FYI, the players were told no contact with Chauncey Billups. So ever since this went down, one of the players, Matisse Thybulle, was even saying, we just read about it on Twitter like the rest of you.
Could this
be one has any idea.
An attack from above? Why is it Portland? Like, why target Portland?
Oh, boy.
Seems like Portland's being targeted in other ways.
Yes.
Is there a special interest behind all this?
I don't know. We'll let you guys think about that.
It is a big question for all you listeners.
This is a developing situation.
We'll see. Keep your ears and eyes open on this. You got it. Head on a swivel. All right. Well, we will be back after this word from our sponsors.
KXRW programming is made possible by partners like Buckley & Associates, attorneys at law, helping injured victims seek the justice they deserve for over 40 years. Licensed in Washington State, our diverse team speaks over 7 languages, making your rights more accessible and easier to understand. Learn more at buckleylaw.net. Buckley & Associates, we speak your language.
우리는 여러분의 언어를 구사합니다.
我们说你的语言.
Nosotros hablamos tu idioma.
중 tôi nói ngôn ngữ của bạn.
Support for KXRW comes from Kindred Vancouver in downtown Vancouver, Washington. Kindred is a community-focused general store offering bulk refillery options and supplies for sustainable, do-it-yourself living. With a focus on reducing waste and supporting clean, mindful lifestyles, Kindred helps individuals incorporate low-impact choices into daily life. More information is at kindredvancouver.com.
Welcome back to KXRW Sports Talk from the Couve. Thank you, everyone, for listening. To follow us along for more content, check us out on Instagram at From the Couve, and we will give you more clips during the hiatus between our episodes, and you can check out more there. And thank you so much for following along, and I'm going to send it right back over to Wireless Mike Koreski.
Well, thank you very much, Sonny, and that was very easy for you to say. So there we go. Keeping it like Northwest right now. On a good note, well, kind of good, James and I are really hurting on this one. I'm not sure how you guys feel, but the Seattle Mariners, it basically was their best season in their 48 years of existence. They made it to Game 7 of the American League Championship Series. They made it 8 outs away from their first ever World Series. And then things kind of fell apart.
Is it true that the Mariners are still the only team that hasn't made it?
You are correct.
Correct, Patrick.
You are correct, Patrick.
They were getting there, though.
Yeah, it was real close. And the hard part is, so, and a lot of Mariner fans, I guess, that have gone through this like we have, year after year, time after decade, you want to say, well, there's always next year.
Yeah.
And the hard part is the ownership doesn't spend the same amount of money as some of the big boys like the Dodgers, the Cubs, the Yankees, and whatnot. So what they do, it's not like they keep what they have and build on it. They kind of keep some of it and then trade out the other half and then kind of like, please, 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 let it be more. So that's kind of what they do. So that's the hard part right now. Because you're hoping some of the free agents get re-signed, but then again, you don't know what the budget's going to be. So here we are as sports fans over here in Seattle or the Northwest having to worry about what's the budget.
Yeah, and this is kind of limbo time as we're following along with this World Series. Some people are. I'm personally not. All that much.
Well, la-di-da.
And by the time you listen to this, the World Series will
most likely be over.
And you'll know who won. Yeah. Great. But it's even another 5 days after that from when you know free agents start materializing. You'll see who teams just let walk.
Player options, team options all get exercised or not.
So
5 days after the World Series
right
ends.
Now. Like we're waking up from a nightmare and then going into dream mode about, oh, maybe we can retain this player. Yeah. Maybe we can bring these guys back. And
we've been there, done that, though, over the years.
Tricky spot to be in right now for
Mariners
fans.
And the thing is, the ownership will say one thing on their end of the season press conference, but it's been pretty much proven the last 2 years, or 2 years ago, I think it was, that like 24 hours before a free agency, they came back to the management and like, nope, got to cut it. You got to cut the budget.
For the last 3 years.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what
it was pretty much proven like 2 years ago. So all of a sudden they're just trading off salary and you're just like,
doing some swappity-doos. You know,
so the only positive thing, or one positive thing about it, is they did have 6 home games, home playoff games, which were all sellouts. That's a lot of money.
Wow.
And even when they were on the road, they opened up T-Mobile to watch on the big screen for several thousand fans. And
their victory hall next door as well.
Which they own. So across the way, and that was packed out. So I think it was charity, the $10 to get into T-Mobile. If I remember, it was charity, but the food and everything was not.
No,
and all
it was
the merch.
Right.
So, you know, they made a substantial amount. They might counter with Root Sports is going under, you know, the TV network that they own. They're shutting it down at the end of the year. And Major League Baseball will take over the broadcast. They have, 12 or 14 other teams right now that they do it for. So I don't know what that agreement's like.
Yeah, well, that'll be developed a thing. You know what's not sad, though?
What's that?
Our final Cal Raleigh record dump.
Yes.
Of this for this season.
Finish that up because we got to move. So
absolutely.
Go for it.
So Cal Raleigh did end up surpassing the 57 home runs to be the Mariners' all-time single season record home run hitter, passing the great Ken Griffey Jr.
Yes.
He hit the 60 home run plateau by the end of the season. Mm-hmm. He is now only the 4th American League player to hit that 60 home run plateau. He's the first catcher to hit the 60 home run plateau.
And
the first switch hitter to get to 60 home runs. And of course, the first Mariner to get to 60 home runs. He tied for the most 2 home run games in a season with 11, with a bunch of other players, including Sammy Sosa and Mark McGwire.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, he has the record now for the most home runs ever hit in a single season between the regular season and the postseason.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
With 65.
Yeah.
Right. Good job, Cal Raleigh.
Yay.
He took us along for the ride. And this is after, of course, signing that extension to stay with the Mariners before
the
season.
At the beginning.
Before he did any of this.
Well, first week of the season. First week.
And he got
he
that done.
Yeah.
And just to go out and do this was just amazing. And we'll,
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, I'll leave it on a parting shot before we go to the next one. I will say, I think, James, they will sign one guy, at least one hitter, maybe one pitcher, to a multi-year deal. I think they want to build upon the core of Cal and Julio Rodriguez is what I think they want to do. So I do think they want to spend some money, but not all of it.
Yeah, we're it's
so
all,
I think
it's
that's
all,
what you're going to see.
We're all just waiting right now with
well, a reserve.
And well, we'll do that for a little bit.
Yeah, but. And we do have a lot of young talent coming up that James and I talk about, text about all the time. But that young talent takes time to mature. But to your thing real quick, Connor, during the trade deadline this year, they did open up. They dropped like $10 million in some trades, you know, where they took on like $10 million in salary, which was like their first time they like did that in a few years.
Nice.
So that was kind of cool, at least. Yeah. Okay, so now the big question for the panel, because we had one last month about the sports movies, and it went over well for us. So panel question, have you ever been to a playoff game or event? How different is it from the norm? So I will start with you, Sonny Crockett.
Well, Mike and I can both attest. We covered that this season very well.
Yeah.
I went to game 5 of the ALDS with the Seattle Mariners with the Detroit Tigers.
The 15 inning.
I stayed for all 15 innings and got to experience all of that. The downside of giving up the lead, and then the elation of seeing everyone celebrate when Jorge Polanco stroked that ball into right field to score that final run. And I went home right after, you know, after that. I mean,
how late did it go to
that game?
It was 10 at night.
It was 11 o'clock that we ended up being.
Oh, that you ended up getting out of there. After, the game itself was over at 10. That,
We didn't get fully out of there until about 12:30. That's when we got on the Sounder train to go back to our car to then to come home. We didn't get home till.
Oh, you turned and burned same night?
Yeah,
till 2:30. Oh,
we have to. I've got pigs. it's like I've got to get home. And we liked that so much, we went right back to get some ALCS games because didn't get a chance when the Mariners went in 2001 or 2000 or 95. So that was, and I just came back saying, I mean, I'm a changed man. I mean, to experience that. My one playoff memory that I want to put out there, I went to the final Sonics game that they went to the playoffs against the Spurs. I went to the game where they got eliminated. And wasn't all that competitive. They, you know, the Spurs were amazing with Tim Duncan and all that. But it was fun to watch. And sitting in the row right behind me was one Ichiro Suzuki, current Major League Baseball Hall of Famer. And
nice.
that was a treat for me and my friend who had come. I had actually flown in from Chicago to go to that game because I was living in Chicago at the time. And we went to that right before his wedding. And that was kind of like my gift to him for the wedding to go in. And we were sitting courtside. And again, Ichiro Suzuki right behind me. It was the coolest thing ever.
All right. Well, I'll go with I did get to go to two playoff games for the Mariners in 2001. Game 2 of the division series against Cleveland, game 1 of the ALCS versus the Spankies. And this year I got to go to game 5 of the ALCS. The ALCS. Mm-hmm. Got to go to game 5. And I will say the older I get, maybe you guys can attest, the more you savor the moment because you never know when you're getting back.
Right.
So it was just electric. Coolest thing about it was when we left the park. You know, we were on the 100 level going through the concourse to get out of there. And it's, you know, 50,000 people, 50,000 now with standing people and everything. And everyone, 90% of the people were high-fiving each other when you left that thing.
Nice.
So your arm was pretty sore because it was just up high-fiving everybody and the yelling and everything. It was so positive.
It's so cool to get love from strangers.
Completely different. For me, going to game 4 of the ALCS, it was not all that. I mean, we were trying to say positive.
You lost that
and then
one.
You went. You saw the grand slam, the grand salami that Gino Suarez hit.
Wonderful.
Can't imagine what that. I also want to point out, you also, though, that you saw another playoff game this year. You went to the Everett Aqua Sox winning their championship game. So
I
want to advocate people get a chance. Playoff action at any level.
Yeah.
Like, so
it's really cool. All right, Patrick. Go ahead. You went to a couple of big wrestling events.
Yeah, I am. If you haven't noticed and listened to the show, I'm kind of the quiet one just because I'm not a big guy that follows a lot of sports, so I don't have a lot to contribute. However, you know, I've been a lifelong wrestling fan, and it was 2018. I managed to go to WrestleMania 34 in New Orleans. And that was right around right around the time when WrestleMania was starting to become like a week or about a week long kind of wrestling convention for the cities that they had. And so it was really cool. Like, not only did I get to go to WrestleMania, but there was they had a WWE World where you get to meet the superstars and all this memorabilia from different things that they had all weekend. Different independent shows would do shows all around the city all weekend as well. There was Monday Night Raw, and NXT had their big show. I didn't go to that, but the Hall of Fame also. And so it was just like a big weekend long, just like wrestling convention. And, you know, each year it's kind of picked up more and more. Each year that's become more a part of, you know, that's why every city wants to have WrestleMania come to them. And so it was just really cool to be able to kind of be a part of that at one point in my life. I've also managed to go to a couple Royal Rumbles, which is kind of in the WWE world, kind of the road to WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. You know, that's where it kind of starts out.
Tease people off.
Yeah,
tease people
I actually think the Royal Rumble is a better event than WrestleMania.
It's
I look forward to that because it's fun.
Very diverse. Yeah,
so absolutely. I couldn't agree more with you on that.
I went to in 2023. I want to say I went to the one in San Antonio, and then in 2024 I went to the one in It was St. Augustine, Florida.
Oh.
No, nice. St. Petersburg. Yeah, yeah. St. Petersburg, Florida.
North of St. Augustine.
Not St. Augustine. Tampa Bay Area. My first time being the Tampa Bay Area.
Nice.
And I thought the show in San Antonio was better, but yeah, and then
those were WrestleManias or those were
Royal Rumbles.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Which are like the kickoffs of leading up to
WrestleMania. But it sounds like the WrestleMania weekends would be great in places like New Orleans and Vegas where there's so much else.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, they are diversifying as much as possible.
They make it a week long like wrestling convention, and it's you know, I just, as a fan, since I was a little kid, that was just a really cool
moment. And and we were talking about this earlier, you traveled from here down to New Orleans, right? How long in advance had you planned on doing that?
About 6 months. Well, okay. Nice. Plan in advance, the prior WrestleMania, when they announced it was going to be in New Orleans, I just kind of thought, wouldn't that be cool to go to that next year? Like, I'm going to make that happen.
Had you been there before?
Never been.
Good excuse to go. What was your favorite thing that you ate while you were in New Orleans?
Favorite thing I ate?
Did you have a gator po' boy?
Beignets?
Beignets, yeah.
You know,
and the chicory coffee.
Okay, this is final answer. Final answer. We got to get to Sunny.
Gumbo.
At Connor.
Gumbo and the red jambalaya. Beans and rice.
Always a classic. But that just goes to show you, it's like those kind of events are huge. And that's kind of like the World fantastic. Series of wrestling and all that.
Did you hit up Bourbon Street?
Oh, yeah.
Heck yeah. All right.
We celebrate not only at that level. If you can go to playoffs, just go there and make it fun and make it your, you know, you can get excited about any
once
level,
in a
whether
lifetime
high school,
deal.
You know,
once
whether it's high school or anything like that.
Well, and that leads to Con Air. Talk about your championship experience.
I mean, as far as most memorable and that comes to mind the quickest, I was doing cable access up in Bellingham, Washington, and with the Center for New Media outfit that I was interning with, Suzanne Blaze, shout out to her. She was the executive producer. We made a deal with Lyndon Washington High School to go cover their basketball games. So we'd go there and cover all their home basketball games, and they made it to the championship. So then we went to Yakima, had ourselves a weekend with our Center for New Media
crew.
Yeah, the land of the Yakowaks or the Palm Springs of Washington.
That's right.
And had a great weekend there with our crew. And, you know, I was a commentator. I was play-by-play and then was joined by, Femi Abebefe, did the color. And, I wore a fedora on screen and, you know, me and Femi were the ones most comfortable being on screen. So by default, we ended up being the commentators. Okay. But he knew so much more about basketball than I did.
And then your favorite thing about that experience?
Oh, favorite thing was going to Yakima and having that weekend experience with the group and just having that, you know, all those people from all over the state coming to Yakima to support their kids in high school. So, very, very rewarding. And the media experience was, you know, great.
At this table, we had quite a diverse bunch of answers and takes, mm-hmm. and that is fantastic.
I went to WrestleMania with my buddy. His name is James. Mm-hmm. He passed away in 2021, and it was just a really cool experience to go with him. Like, that was, you know, wrestling was one of the things we bonded over and became friends over. So I just want to kind of give a shout out to James.
You went to New Orleans with him?
I did.
Oh, okay. Not your fam?
No.
You went with him?
Okay. I went with him.
Gotcha.
And he enjoyed it so much. The following year, we actually went. He arranged it that we could go to SummerSlam in Toronto,
ooh.
Which is kind of WrestleMania light.
You did that?
I did.
Whoa.
Nice. So,
yeah.
Cool. I want to go to Canada. I want to go to Toronto.
Yeah, so exactly. My buddy James was the one who made sure that happened. Cool. So,
nice. Shout out to James.
Shout out, yeah.
Rest in peace, James.
R.I.P. So this leads us up to NFL talk for a little bit. Seahawks.
Are you ready for some football?
Always.
Okay, Hank Williams. And going old school with you there. Seahawks were actually listed as like number two in the NFL ranking on like a ESPN like a week ago.
Yeah.
I mean, is this weird? Is this real? This hasn't happened in like 8 years, 7, 8, 9 years.
I think it's very real. They're at 5-2 right now. Right.
Yeah.
And the only two losses they have are two of the best teams in the NFC, mm-hmm. and so and that might come back to bite them eventually. But until it does, you know, we go. They're right now. They're listed as a 69% nice playoff to make the playoffs. So they're looking pretty good for that. They're just in a really tough division. That's probably the only reason.
Three,
that's
5-2 teams in it.
Right. Right.
It's the NFC West you talked about last month.
Yeah, and they're probably the only reason they're not listed at slightly higher. My one thing about the Seahawks I want to point out. Jackson Smith and Jigba is flying high, literally, and leading the league in yards, and he'd be the first Seahawk to do so since 1985, and that's, of course, the great Steve Largent. Oh, yeah. He did it for
my
the Seahawks.
Favorite.
And he had done it. He's the only other Seahawks to ever do it. He did it again or previously in 1979 as well.
Cool. And then so we were talking a little bit about early MVP candidates. And our NFL guy, David Mace, not here tonight, but he did drop us a text saying Jonathan Taylor is his mm-hmm. pick for early season MVP.
Yeah, what he's got the Colts flying high at 7-1.
Oh, yeah. He's got it once again, and this leads me to ask you. It seems to me the whole MVP thing is like a three-part pie. You know, is it the winning team versus how the player carries that team? Or is it about pure statistics? There always seems to be this, you need this development, you need all three pieces kind of even.
And I think in the NFL, it's so much more about pure statistics for the NFL. Like, mm-hmm. And so that gives Jonathan Taylor a really good shot at it. But they're also going to look at the quarterback, at the leader of that team. And you've still got Mahomes is still up there. You've still got Josh Allen as a candidate. So it's going to be really hard for him.
You've got some of the usuals.
Whereas in baseball, we're going to bring back the MVP. I think Cal Raleigh has a really good shot of winning it because they do look at those intangibles a little bit more.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Well, one segment to go. Still awesome. Thank you for listening, and we will be right back after this word from our sponsors.
Big thank you to Georgie's Garage and Grill for supporting KXRW programming. They offer a full bar and signature meals for breakfast, lunch, and dinner that is not the usual bar food. Their food will keep you coming back for more. Dine in or take out. They also offer a venue space for live music and community events. Georgie's Garage and Grill is located downtown Vancouver at 606 Broadway Street. More information can be found at georgiesgarageandgrill.com.
Support for KXRW comes from Blunt Insurance Group, an independent insurance agency based in Vancouver, Washington. They provide options for home, auto, business, and personal coverage, working with a range of providers. More information is available at BluntInsuranceGroup.com. Blunt Insurance Group, supporting our community and KXRW Community Radio.
We're back on KXRW Sports Talk from the Coop. Thank you for everyone for joining us here tonight. Want to give a special thanks to Connor Flynn for producing all of our episodes so far and keeping us going on KXRW 99.9 FM and also getting us up on on X-Ray FM on their app as well. Thank
Woo-hoo!
You so much, Connor.
Oh, Conair.
You betcha.
Conair.
Absolutely.
My new nickname for you.
Connor on
As we move into the holidays a little bit, we might have a little bit of variety in where when we broadcast and when we get our next episodes on the air. So make sure you're following along with us on our Instagram is the best way of checking out when we're going to be, any changes to our schedule, look for us on Instagram from the Couve. And thank you so much for doing that. I'm going to send it over to Wireless Mike Koreski to get us going on this final segment.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah, and it's really interesting when the mics aren't on and it's not rolling, the stuff we end up talking about. Very interesting, but fantastic all the same. Speaking of fantastic, college football, it's a great time for you, Mr. Crockett. Talk to me about your Huskies.
The Washington Huskies making the Big Ten bow down unless you're Ohio State or Michigan. So it's a big, they did get some big wins over Rutgers, some big wins over Maryland, and just this last weekend over the Illini from Illinois.
The Fighting Illini.
The Fighting Illini.
So what's your record now?
You would ask that question. I think
you're 5-2.
I think just the two losses on the season. So I think they're up to five wins now.
I think you're 5-2. And
the debate on that one is can a team with two losses still move on to this new playoff format? When those two losses are against Ohio State and Michigan, I think there's a good chance of it if they finish off the season strong.
Well, I guess that's one thing, but your W's aren't against.
They're not
big-time guys, and I think that's what you need. You need some big wins.
They need to finish off the rest. Yeah. If they get three losses, it's not even a discussion anymore. Yeah. So they have to finish off the rest of their season strong against.
So how would you feel? How would you feel about a bowl game if you didn't get to the big tourney?
I love bowl games. Okay. I've loved bowl games my whole life.
No matter what,
absolutely.
Even if the Tostitos eat a chip in the bowl.
Absolutely. that's the problem with that though. Is going to be. If they're leading into a bowl game, what happens with their head coach Jed Fish? Is he going to be poached by? There's a number of
these rumors.
There's lots of rumors because there's all these major teams or these major college organizations are looking at programs have huge openings. Florida, Penn State, Ole Miss might become available if Lane Kiffin moves on there. Yeah. Texas could become available if Sarkisian decides he wants to take another shot at the NFL. So we're looking at that could torpedo any kind of interest in that bowl game, really. But it is a great tool for college football programs to utilize. So it's going to be up to them as long as they make something out of it.
Okay. Well, I'm going to counter you a teeny bit. I'm going to push back a little bit about the bowl games because nowadays with the NIL stuff, and of course, being a Coug last year, I went through the anguish of this. And Patrick, he's a Coug as well.
Yes.
I don't know if you suffered as much as I did because you got the wrestling thing going on more, whereas I kind of sit there and look at this football stuff forever. But last year they had their coach left like a week into the bowl preparation. First week of December, he left for Wake Forest. And then I think it was 25 players proceeded to go. So what happened was there was talk about them having to forfeit the bowl game because one of the other schools actually had to forfeit their bowl game. But Wazoo was like, well, no, we need the money. Because it was a couple million bucks to show up at this bowl game, you know, because they need the money because the Pac-12's not going till next year again. So they need the money.
We need the money.
Yeah. So the only thing that saved them, because you'll see this a lot in college sports now with the bowl games, is too many guys leave. So now you got true freshmen playing that haven't played all year in this bowl game and getting smoked, literally, because the other teams, no one seems to have as many people leave as the teams that don't have a conference. So the only thing that saved their butt last year was that I think 18 players or 16 came back and played because the school allowed them to. They had put their names in the transfer portal, but they're like, I will play because they wanted to get some numbers and up their stock to go to another school. So that's what I was going to say. Because even the tournament now, you get players leaving. And I think that's a big problem. The NCAA did change it, is now the portal doesn't start till like January 2nd, but we'll see how many people still sit because they don't want to hurt themselves to go somewhere else.
Either the transfer portal or to go into the NFL draft.
You got it.
They're making those decisions all the time. And the coaches themselves are making that decision now.
So,
I don't know. Do they jump to a new program now? Or do they, you know?
Yeah. If I had any druthers about it, if anyone cared, I would say you have to play. you don't get your money or you forfeit that game's pay. You know, you don't get those benefits if you don't play in it. Mm-hmm. And that's it, the only thing I would, because at least the school wouldn't be out, you know, and then they could still be free to go get their bag someplace else. So that's where I would go. Anyway.
And that is a great point that you're making there, Mike. I think it's about the coaches and the players who are there to make the most out of it. It's about getting the extra practices. It's about getting, you know, it. And so I'm hoping that that's kind of, but you're right.
If
that's why I say I look at it now, I want it to be a positive. But if Jed Fish ends up taking a job with Florida, it'll crater the whole entire experience.
Yeah.
And so I'm hopeful that doesn't happen. I'm hopeful that, you know, I'm even with the Cougs, I hope that not having as much an uncertainty going into next season as they did last season.
It'd be nice because this Rodgers dude, I think he's pretty decent.
Yeah.
The coach, he has 75 new players this year, and he's got them at 4-4. And we are 2 games away from a bowl game. And it's like, wow, I couldn't picture that at all the way this year started. So I would say, yeah, I would love for him to stay, but it's all a thing, you know. If those big ones you mentioned get filled, then the schools that they left will then jump down, and the schools that lay, you know, and so on and so on. So, anywho, enough of that. Let me see. What else are we? Oh, soccer. Give me some soccer before we get to the wrestling.
I got a couple quick news hits there from around the Northwest as far as soccer goes. I want to start off with the Portland Pilots, the University of Portland. They had reached number one overall in the rankings at one point in the season, just a couple weeks ago. Since then, they have gone on to tie a few games, so that did kind of drop them down in the rankings a little bit. And then they did just pick up their first loss, but overall they're 10-1-3. And they had a 23-game win streak, which was a 23-game unbeaten streak. That's the correct terminology for soccer. And that was the best in the nation, and it's the best that's ever been for their university. So good job to them for reaching that level, and hope, you know, they can continue going on. There's a 16-team playoff for that as well for them, so they can go on with that. Other soccer news: Portland Timbers made the MLS playoffs as a wild card team. They won their wild card team that first round. They've since moved on to play, and the first game was against Real Salt Lake, so they moved on from that. They are now up against a team from San Diego, and they've lost the first game, but it is a best of three, so they'll have a couple more games to right their ship and continue along in the MLS playoffs. And then along with the Portland Timbers, the Seattle Sounders, who have a long-term, great competitor in MLS so far, they made the top round of the playoffs, so they didn't have to do the play-in game. They're up against Minnesota. They, like the Timbers, have lost their first game in that series, so they have a couple more games to get right and continue on MLS playoffs.
Nice.
And did you know that Vancouver, BC is hosting next year's World Cup tournament?
Yay!
So 16 cities in the North American Northwest are hosting.
Yeah, Seattle got it happening next
Vancouver,
year.
Vancouver, we're going to be one of the host cities. So, that's exciting.
Vancouver, we're going to be?
Yeah, we are. We're going to be one of the host cities.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So big exciting stuff for Vancouver. So
let's do it.
There's a few games going on around North America for that World Cup, and we'll see how that progresses coming up into next year.
Awesome. All right.
And then we'll move on. We're going to talk some WNBA. We have some news as far as that goes.
Okay, go ahead.
Both the Portland Fire, which is going to be the new team coming in 2026,
yes,
and the Seattle Storm have named new head coaches who both had ties to the NBA. The Portland Fire is new. Alex Samarama is their first ever head coach. He was an assistant for the Cleveland Cavaliers and is coming over a very statistic-driven head coach.
And they had a great year last year, so he's coming in on a high.
Yeah, absolutely. So really good get for the Portland Fire right there. And then the Seattle Storm, who have won the WNBA 4 times in their history, they are bringing in Sonia Rahman to be their new head coach. And she was coming an assistant from the New York Liberty team. It was very successful the last couple of years.
Cool.
And then, but she was all before that was an assistant with the Memphis Grizzlies.
Awesome. All right. Good luck to both coaches, and franchises with the new directions.
Yeah, and hopefully continuing with women's basketball being successful in the Pacific Northwest.
You got it.
Finally, just one quick thing about hockey. The Kraken have done really good so far early in the season. They are 5-2 with three ties as well, or three overtime losses. So so far they are second in the Pacific Division of the NHL.
All right.
They're coming into the season with Lane Lambert as their new head coach, and they also have Jason Botterill who took over for them as GM, and they're doing pretty well so far and getting healthy to continue their trip to the through the Pacific North Pacific Division of NHL, it's at 5-2 so far. So.
Okay, that sounds great. Thank you so much, Sonny, for getting all the details and getting us all up to date on those sports.
Releasing the Kraken.
Well. That's right, and so we're going to release our own Kraken right now. So
there you go.
There you go, sir. Patrick.
Oh, I'm the Kraken.
Yeah.
I'm the Kraken. I see.
Getting you out here, man.
All right.
So you were talking about some fun that happened at the American Legion Hall for our local event recently.
Well.
October 12th.
It was October 12th. I believe it was their fifth event. Their fifth event.
The Bar Wars. Not at the bar anymore.
Not at the bar anymore. I noticed that they're changing the name of it to represent that they're not at the bar anymore. But, you know, Roundtable Pro Wrestling is definitely finding its groove. I think as each show goes on, it gets a little more tighter and more bigger fan base coming in.
We need to get more people out there, though. We got KXRW listeners. Come on out. Check it out. Represent.
The American Legion and Salmon Creek.
Yeah.
You know, by the time the show goes on air, they will have their sixth event. So, kind of weird paradox for those listening right now. We're recording something and talking about something that hasn't happened yet, but as you're listening to it, it will have happened. And in the mainstream wrestling world, same thing. By the time you are listening to this, Saturday night's main event from Salt Lake City will have happened, where CM Punk or Jey Uso will be the new World Heavyweight Champion. So as of us talking right now, we don't know who that will be.
Well, if CM Punk wins, he'll be the SLC Punk, right? No?
Wow, I see where you're going.
But
anybody ever see that one? Classic.
Conair. I could totally, like, I'm here on this platform as the wrestling guy, and it's been very hard for me to be a fan of mainstream pro wrestling the last couple of years because of just, I mean, take your pick with what's happening. You know, like I said, I don't necessarily want to use this platform to be the disgruntled guy. But where I'm going with that is WWE, as much as they want to claim that they're the monopoly and would like to be the monopoly, they are not quite the monopoly yet. There is a lot of alternative choices to pick from. AEW is still going strong, and it'll only get stronger as long as people keep watching it.
And you know what I caught on TV? Not to interrupt you, but I caught on the other night. Wow, women of wrestling in the Fremont street of Las Vegas. They're just wrestling outside for all the people to see. Yeah, I don't know if they do that regularly out there in the Fremont.
I think they do. They normally do out of Los Angeles, studio show. But
so that must have been a special.
But yeah, event. There's another option.
Yeah, women of wrestling. And they're, yeah.
And so, and I just want to, I always like to, we're a local radio station, so I like to bring it back, you know, what's happening locally. We talk about Roundtable Pro Wrestling. Up in Kelso, Inclusion Pro Wrestling has shows. Up in Longview, I always forget the name of the promotion, but I pulled it up to have it ready now. Pacific Wrestling Federation, LLC, is based out of Longview. They're doing shows. Mm-hmm. Blue Collar Pro Wrestling in Portland, still doing shows. Mm-hmm. DOA is still going strong. Prestige Wrestling is about, they're hanging up their boots at the end of the year. The owner saying, hopefully it's a see you later, not a completely goodbye. But who knows with that.
Portland Wrestling seems to be struggling because they are getting themselves involved in some drama.
We saw some drama happen. Let's just make this a disclaimer that if you're at a wrestling event, leave the action to the professionals in the ring. Don't try to get involved with with them. Yeah. The rumor has it, we were just kind of there, but there was a guy coming out. You know, we're of course doing our thing on air, and he was trash talking the audience like a good heel should do. And apparently that guy he was trash talking went and decked him with some brass knuckles at the end of the show.
behind the scenes, yeah. Back in the dressing room.
Yeah.
Just went back there.
The guy that got decked, he seemed fine.
Called the cops. The cops came in. That's what brought it to our attention.
We're tearing down coming, and are like, why are cops are here?
And then apparently they pursued the individual all the way up to Kalama detained or arrested him there.
Yeah.
So we suspected is it possible that this is, you know, a storyline?
Is it a work?
Is this drama? Is this a work?
Yeah.
But once the fact that, you know, he's a felon.
And I think since the police were involved, I don't think.
Yeah.
I think
it was a legit drama thing.
And, wow, that is a major story.
I used to, as a kid, you know, we were kind of talking about our college careers a little bit. Like, my dream was actually to be a pro wrestling commentator. Mm-hmm. That's why I went to WSU.
Right on.
And yeah, wanted to be on
ESPN. You've realized your dream.
I have realized my dream now, being able to broadcast, do this show and
Wizards
of Wrestling and then broadcast the Roundtable Pro Wrestling.
What were you thinking about that AEW competition kind of against WWE for, you know?
Yeah,
WWE going to Saudi Arabia.
I totally spaced where I was going with that. So we'll just go on to the next time. I totally do feel like, you know, the big news in WWE is that Saudi Arabia is hosting WrestleMania 43. So not this coming WrestleMania, but a year from now.
Yeah, because they're going to Vegas. They're going back to Vegas. And then one after that is going to be in Saudi Arabia.
And as we talked about in the last segment, I got to go to WrestleMania 34. And WrestleMania really is becoming just like this convention, week-long convention. And to completely take that where independent companies come travel in, and it's, you know, the host city, just it's big economic boom to the city. To take that all the way to Saudi Arabia, this is a golden opportunity for AEW to do their own counter programming WrestleMania in a North American city, you know, because I don't see too many casual fans taking the trip over to Saudi Arabia to enjoy WrestleMania. I don't see that happening.
No. Yeah, it could be big for wrestling at the local level. Absolutely. To really kind of join together and have our own United States kind of Super Bowl of wrestling, and we could do that with all these different companies. Thank you so much, Patrick.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Appreciate that. And then one more time, your show that you guys do.
Wizards of Wrestling?
Yeah, supposed to air last Fridays of each month, but didn't have time to get in the studio this
Sounds
month.
Sounds good. So well, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. So thank you guys so much for being here, participating. Thank you guys for listening to us.
Thank you, Mike Kresge. MK Ultra.
Yeah, thank you so much. KXRW.
Love
a good night.
Go Cougs.